talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? In Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul speaking here to the Ephesians, and love unto all the saints. Then down in verse 20 he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in Philippians 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My. A name that's above every name. And, you know, when I was a boy, my mama used to tell me that a good name is something you need to take care of. A good name is important. It was important to my family for us to have a good name. I didn't want to have a family name of being in trouble all the time, of being a screw-up all the time, even though I was a lot of the time. But then when I was much older, I began to understand what my mama was talking about. In Proverbs 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment. And, you know, for many years, 33 years, I was a policeman in that work. And I could usually, when I stopped somebody on the highway, if it was late at night and I stopped somebody on the highway, I could tell by the name on their driver's license whether they were up to no good or whether they weren't. Just by the family name. Isn't that something? That may sound a little odd to you folks, but I knew those families around Milan, some of those farming families, if it had a name like Swips or Isard or one of those, that crowd, I knew that they weren't up to no good. That is good working farming families, and I knew what they were taught at home, and I didn't have to dig around and look too long to try to figure out what they were up to, because they had a good name. A good name is important. I learned firsthand how a good name, important a good name was. And if one of my cousins would get in trouble, it would grieve me because it brought a reproach to the family name. Now, many of my relatives weren't choir boys. You see Jeff sitting up here. Now, but as a policeman, I'd go to those bar fights. I'd get called on those bar fights where my own family was right in the middle of it. That's a tough thing to do. One night, my uncle was just kind of laughing at me. I'm trying to separate a bunch of barroom brawlers, and they weren't taking me very seriously. But I hated those kind of calls where it involved your own family. And I've gone to get relatives out of jail. Some of them, like I said, would have a real attitude. And especially if they'd had a little to drink. Now, I know most of you folks in here don't know anything about that life, but I do. And that was tough duty. Tough duty for me. But overall, on my dad's side of the family, all his brothers had good names that I recall. All my uncles had pretty good names. They were known to pay their bills. They were good to their wives. Good family man, hard-working man. And there's some folks that I'd stop on the street just as soon as I saw that last name on the driver's license, I'd get suspicious. Why? Because they didn't have a good name. And it follows from generations. You know, I can go over to we go over to minister at the Ripley County Jail from time to time, and I go over there to visit folks, and I look up on that board all those names, and it's the same ones, the same family names for generations that I've dealt with. Now, that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. And some folks I'd stop, And I knew from that name that there's probably something going on. You say, well, you can't do that. That's profiling. Yeah. Yes, it is. Exactly right. And that's how I survived, by profiling. If I stopped somebody in his driver's license and said, Dillinger, first name John, and in the front seat with him was Babyface Nelson, and Pretty Boy Floyd sitting in the back seat, I kind of got suspicious that maybe something was going on. That's profiling. I'd take a few added precautions, let me say. I knew that. If a fellow was, I was taught as a young, as a rookie policeman in Miami, Florida, said, watch out for the ones that's overly calm or the one that's overly nervous. That guy that's just relaxed and overly calm, look out for that guy too. Well, but you know, I could tell by the name if that fellow was in trouble a lot. And I don't know why that is. They say for some genetic things that it takes about four generations, the Bible says, to clear up some of that craziness. I don't know if that's true. So the sins of the father are not to be visited upon the sons. I understand that, but just what Scripture says. There's some, I think, genetic tendencies that it takes three or four generations. So be visited to the third and fourth generation. Is that what God says about that? That's kind of interesting. It's beyond my pay grade. But now today times have changed. Today the times have really changed. You can go to the average airport today and you'll see a security. You'll see the TSA spend about 30 minutes checking out an 85-year-old retired school teacher from Ames, Iowa, and about 30 seconds on some guy named Mohammed wearing a turban and a T-shirt that says Down with America. Now, what's that about? You know how Israel gets by so well? They profile. They profile. That's what we try to do here as a church. It's not like we're ignoring security, but we profile. I watch everyone that walks through that door. And I watch somebody, if he looks suspicious or somebody that I don't know, I watch him as long as I need to. I watch him till I don't have to watch him anymore. You'll see him finally smile at somebody or something that you know that he's not here to kill half the church. I had some police officers that came here. Jamie used to sit in the back, and Gary, and I'd say, I'd have them profile everybody that walked in the church door. And that's what the Israelis have done for years. That's what's kept them out of a lot of trouble. Of course, yeah, and you get in trouble in this country, not racial profiling, it's just profiling. That's how you survive. Hey, anyway, but that's how it works. And my thought, if he walks like a duck and he talks like a duck and he quacks like a duck and he swims like a duck and has on his ID the name of Huey, Dewey, Louie, or Donald, I kind of get suspicious that he might be a duck. Right. Call it what you want to. That's how policemen survive. You take a 20-year-old or a 20-year street cop and you put him in an airport security and he'd spot a terrorist a mile away because you know what to look for. So I learned from experience in Ripley County when I stopped someone with some of those family names of those farming families, I knew they weren't into anything crazy. There's a lot in a name. One fella told me one time, asked him what he did, and he said he works at the Spots and Steals Company. Said he spots it in the daytime and steals it at night. Musicians. Brother Nell will tell you about being around musicians. I had a steel guitar player named Ralph Jernigan, a guitar player, great guitar player, played on with some of the opera groups. He was from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, played with Hank Snow back in the day in some of those groups. And Jethro, you remember Jethro's last name, Joyce? I don't remember Jethro's last name, but they were characters now. I got on Ralph. All he'd ever done was play music. career musician. All he'd ever done, play music. And he said, I'm getting tired of this music business. I'm going to get a day job. We called it a day job when you quit playing music and got a day job. So he called the place and asked him what time he is supposed to come down and audition. I said, Ralph, you don't audition for a day job. You interview for a day job. But the story I was going to tell, one night they got stopped by the police, Ralph and Jethro. And they asked, Jethro said, Jethro, what do you do for a living? He said, oh, really, not much of anything. I said, well, how about you, Ralph? He said, I help him. That's kind of how it is. Man, I know I'm going way over the heads of some of you folks tonight. You didn't grow up like I did. Well, let me move on. So what's in a name? First of all, there's authority in a name. You know, a deputy sheriff for years, I served. Used to serve a lot of civil process for the court. And normally at the bottom of that paperwork, there's a judge's name. There's authority in that name. Now, without the judge's signature, that piece of paper, you could take it or leave it. Wasn't worth anything. But whenever that fella put his signature on that paper along with a court seal, you better pay attention to it. Luke 12:58, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate and thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and the officer cast thee into prison. So first of all, we need to understand that there can be power and authority in a name. Verse I love in Esther 8:8, it says, write ye also for the Jews as it liken you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. My, that's a good verse on eternal security. When the Lord wrote your name down in that Lamb's book of life and he sealed it, with that Holy Spirit of promise, can no man reverse it. What a wonderful thing. When I was in the music business, the average person was not allowed to walk into the back door of the Grand Ole Opry. There's a guard there, Mr. Bell. This is at the old Ryman Auditorium. Mr. Bell would be standing there, and he had to know you and who you were picking with before you could get in. You just couldn't walk in. Mr. Bell worked there at the opera for years. And back in the old days, Joyce's nephew played keyboard and was a band leader for John Anderson. Had that song, Just a Swangin'. And her nephew, Mike Jordan, Joyce grew up in their household. But he played keyboard, and they were at the Cincinnati Gardens one night. There with George Jones, and Joyce and I went up to see him. He had that Just a Swingin' song. It was in the top of the charts everywhere. And Joyce and I was headed backstage, and we were stopped by security. Had a couple guys there that wasn't going to let us go back. And we pulled out a couple passes from John Anderson that said, all access. Wow. That's pretty cool. We got to hang out in the dressing room, George Jones and all those singers. Forrester Sisters were there that night. One of them even recognized me, one of the band guys knew me from the Boys' Men. Anyway, see, there, it's kind of nice to name a name, and it opens all the doors for you. Opened all God's doors. Man, I need a little. Anybody got any Valium with them tonight? Think I need a little Valium tonight. Whoop! All right, let me move on. That singing, that kind of got me fired up and stirred up. But hanging out in those dressing rooms, and what a time that was. But, you know, without a certain name on that backstage pass, we would have been turned away. Now, I said that to say this. There's a name. There's a name that's above every name. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ, that's a name that opens all of God's doors. That name that's above every name. His name is holy. His name is blessed. His name is a name that's above every name. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that left-wing crowd today, they'll laugh at you when you tell them that, but oh, one day they're going to face that judge. 1 Peter 3:22 says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's the name. Psalms 8:6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Even the devils are subject unto him. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's the name. The Bible says in James that the devils even believe and tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. Luke 4:36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. My. Now here's something that you and I need to understand tonight. Many of us have become so complacent. We've become so complacent and ritualistic in our prayer life and our witnessing that we have forgotten and often overlooked the power and authority in the name of Jesus. I had told a nurse one night, I've told this story up at a university hospital. I was trying to get in to see somebody. It was a crazy night. She asked who I was. Finally, I said, I'm the servant of the Most High God. That's a name, Jesus Christ. Paul warned Timothy of those in the last days having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Jesus Christ is the power. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Hey, here's what I want you to understand. If you get nothing else out of this tonight, that when you invoke the name of Jesus, you're invoking the greatest power and authority in this world or the world to come. Don't be like the lady when the preacher said, well, you can always pray. Don't be like the lady that said, oh, has it come to that? No, that's the most important thing we do as Christians. That's the thing that we have the name of Jesus Christ. It opens all of God's doors. We call on his name. Whenever you pray in the name of Jesus, you're no longer praying in your own name or in your own strength. When you ask something in the name of Jesus, you are no longer acting on your own authority, but on the very authority of Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know why we have boldness and access and confidence? Because of his faith. Because of the faith of him, he was faithful. Thou shalt not, the Bible says in Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Man, you hear it every day. You guys that work outside on a job, you hear it every day. You know, I can put up with a lot of cussing, but when they start taking the Lord's name in vain, I don't want to be around that. I just don't want to be around it. Now, I may take it to extremes. I don't even like a joke that has Jesus' name in it. I don't want anything that is flippant or light about our Savior. My. The name of Jesus. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like that backstage pass that I had that said all access, whenever you call upon the name of Jesus, you should have confidence in the fact that even principalities and powers are subject unto his authority. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name. That's the name that we fall down before. For whose Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't say you might be. Said you shall be. You got God's word on it. You got your calling upon the authority that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask, even what we ask or think. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's been given that authority by the Heavenly Father. My. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't go to hell because you've committed sin. You go to hell because you've rejected the Savior who paid for your sins. Rejected the free gift. You got a giver, Jesus Christ, and you got a receiver, whosoever will. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And whatsoever ye ask, it says in John 14:13, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What an opening from God, a door opening. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I think we've lost our confidence. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. It says in John 16:23, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. My. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples say to him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now, are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus said, Do you now believe? Do you believe what I'm preaching to you tonight? Man, that's a name. What a privilege to name the name of Jesus Christ. He knows me and I know him. I love him because he loved me first. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And it shall come to pass in Acts 2:21 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter said in Acts 3:6 of that fellow, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. My. That's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a name that's above every name. And it says that we have boldness and access and confidence. I think many of the church today have lost their confidence. We expect a major miracle every time. But we got to remember that in the middle of that asking, there's a thing called God's will. And that's why I give one of the reasons when I pray, I'm bold before God and say, Lord, if there's any way within your will that you can do this, Lord, I'm asking that you do it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking if there's any way that you can do this within your will. My. Whatsoever you do, Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. My, my, my. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a name to name. And just as the young men that I talked about earlier bringing a reproach to their family name, we need to be careful to not bring reproach to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm kind of funny about that. I deal with the Lord on this. I said, Lord, I pray that I not be a reproach to your name or to the church, Lord. I want to have a good name to my Lord. There's going to be a counterfeit power when that Antichrist sets up here on this earth. Everybody will go to him as if he's the Lord, but he has no power. Only the power that God allows him to do for a short time. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat up on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You remember our Lord said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a name, Jesus Christ, that is above every name. Proverbs 34, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist and hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? That's back in the Old Testament Proverbs. What's his son's name? That's the name above every name. The message tonight is to reverence the name of our Savior. Understand there's power there and there's authority. There's holiness and righteousness in that name of Jesus. What a name that we can call on. Cody called me the other night. He was behind the ambulance pulling into the university hospital with his mama. They told her if they would have operated on her, it would have killed her. Said she's in bad shape. She needed a liver transplant. Didn't know how many days she'd be in hospital. A couple days later, she walks home. We started praying. We kept bringing up the name of Jesus Christ, bringing up that name and bringing up that name. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, if there's any way within your will, you can do this. Lord, we ask that you do it. Lord, because of Jesus, for his sake. That's how it works. That's how it works in a church. It's his power, his authority, his love for his church. He loves us. He hears our prayers. We need to develop a confidence in that, not just as a routine, flippant prayer. Oh, Lord, we pray you'd heal her now. No. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. And the Lord says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He wants to hear from you today. Why? Because that's the name that's above every name. That's the name that opens all of God's doors. The name of Jesus. Trust him tonight. Love him. Go to him, expecting to hear from him today. I'm done. If everyone stand up tonight. Here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You don't know what you're missing. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ. You're acting in your own name and in your own on your own authority. But he wants to hear from you tonight. Whenever you've got a problem, you need to go to the problem solver. I was seeking to God, and to him would I commit my cause. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. That's the name that's above every name, Jesus Christ. Reverence it. Love it. Respect it. Honor it. Bow before it. As we sing, the altar's open tonight. We got a fellow, the Union Hall, sent over on piano over here from Local 236. I trust that the preaching, the Word of God, may have touched your heart tonight. As it touched mine, I usually preach to me. What are we singing, Jeff?
281.
281. 281.